I've never played around with PHP before. Did you? I know you made a comment in Seattle that you don't read about programming. You do programming to learn it. But are there is there any references out there that you can make point me towards that might be good PHP reference materials that can help me get the general gist of the language?
Well, PHP.net is the main site for the PHP project. PHP is a open source language, and so the team that works on it documents everything they do at PHP.net, and that's an okay site. So, for instance, every function is documented, and every library is documented, and all that stuff. I work with a little piece of software on the Macintosh called PHP Function Index, of all great names, and it's freeware. And I'm sure there's something that exists like that in the Windows world also. And all it is a tiny little application that is just a function index. So you're looking at code that you've got from somebody else, like that form that I built the other day, mm-hmm. and you want to know what something does, and so you just just double click on the function name, and go and paste it in the search box, and boom, you get a full explanation of what that thing does. And then from that point, my attitude is just do stuff, just play. And you start with hello world, and then you make a loop that does hello world 10 times, and then you just start playing with things and work out how to, for instance, the whole deal for everything that we're doing in the real estate world particularly, but in the Web 2.0 world in general, everything that we're doing is based on post and get, which are HTML commands, HTML ideas for the form operator. But like that form that I delivered the other day, the form on the heap form, mm-hmm. is using post, and all it's doing is taking the input from the form and then posting it in memory is what it boils down to. It gets posted into memory, and then you can go after those variables that you just posted and act upon them. And it's really kind of stupid to have to do things that way. It really amounts to clearing out all the data from the form and sticking each little item in its own little box on a shelf so I can find it later, and then going back and digging into each one of those little boxes to pull the variable back out again. It's a real dumb style of programming, but it works. And so using post, that heap form is self-calling, and I was talking about this with John Kalinowski earlier today because it was kind of troubling him that you get that once you hit submit, you get the name of the form up in the URL, but that's because it's self-calling, that the form calls itself. And the first time through, it sees that it doesn't have any data, so it shows you the form. And then the second time through, if all the data has been supplied, that's when it does the processing. But, it's actually pretty simple. It looks more complicated than it is because we're playing with PHP and HTML together, so we're constantly dropping in and out of PHP, which is just one of the cool things that you can do in PHP, is that you can drop out of the language in order to do HTML just because it's easier and faster to do it as HTML, and then drop back into the language and keep processing. And it's stupid. It's really fun. I come from the C world where everything, C, C++, Objective-C, that kind of stuff, everything is tight as a drum, and anytime you write anything, you start off with 171 syntax errors, right? And PHP is exactly the opposite. It's completely loose. It's all completely untyped. You can multiply 7 by Wednesday and divide the result by a picture. And, there's not, obviously the result you get is going to be stupid, but you can do it if you want to. The software won't stop you. And so, you can make really amazingly huge mistakes, but the fact of the matter is, all you're really doing is making smart web pages. And so the stuff that you end up doing in PHP is all really, really simple. If you look under, if you go to the archives on Bloodhound Blog and just search for the language speaking in tongues, you will see me documenting little pieces of PHP here and there. And it's like I'm talking to an empty room because the silence is just deafening. But Cheryl Johnson got interested, and God bless her, she got interested and started playing. And this is the beauty of PHP is that it's on every Apache server, and it is really, really easy and really fun, and you can do lots of really cool, fun things with it. One of the things I talked about was if you go like to your PayPal account, you can get your PayPal results as a CSV file, and there are all kinds of other things that you can do on the internet where you're offered the opportunity to get all of your records as a CSV file. Well, it's real easy to parse a CSV file in PHP, and there are tools built in for CSV also, but you could literally just chop it up and take the variables from the header They give you a header that tells you what each column in the CSV file is, and so you can name the variables based on the header, and then just chop up each line and take the fields that you want and throw away the rest. And so, you know, for like building little reports, like when we were doing the collecting money for Vlad Zablotsky when he was being persecuted by eperks, I just built software so I could keep track of the money. And I once a week I would download from PayPal to see where we were. And, you know, I had a little PHP program that would parse that report, that CSV report, and tell me exactly, you know, how much had been donated in the last week and all that, and just break it all out. And this is all just so simple. It's amazingly simple. And it's just the beautiful thing about PHP is that it's a quick and dirty language written by web programmers for web publishing purposes. And so there's just all kinds of stuff built into it to make it real fast and easy to publish results on the web. And, you know, it's obviously it's a general purpose programming language. If you wanted to write an amortization schedule or a mortgage qualifier or something like that, you could do it. And in fact, when you see those things on the web, in many cases they're written in PHP. But the kind of stuff that you're normally going to do is, you know, just forms processing or just handling variable data. That you've got, you know, a situation where, you know, one of three situations could obtain. And rather than hard coding for all three, you just write it in PHP and just show the results on the fly. That's just cool. I mean, I said this in a post today that I would never encourage everyone to go and learn PHP. It's something that you gotta want to do, but it's such an easy language and it's, you know, so easy to do the kind of things that we need to do that if you are interested, you know, if you play with it just, you know, every now and then for a couple of hours, or play with it when you have a problem and solve that problem, you're going to end up knowing a ton in a month. In 2 months, you'll be amazed with yourself, you know?
Okay.
In 3 months, you'll stop dating because there's no one in the world that you could love as much as yourself, so.
Great. That's just what I need to share with somebody. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Brilliant.
I built a magic 8-ball and it was you, baby. It came up you.
Well, let me ask you, you shared with me in Seattle that your header for your site rotates through three photographs.
Right.
And randomly links to some of your Arizona Republic articles.
Right.
Or, okay. Was that written in PHP?
Yeah. Yeah, it's written in PHP. And that's a part of, it's in Gano Page Top. For all of the sites that are built using that skin, and we've built a lot with that skin. So, like, bloodhoundrealty.com, that's the skin that we use. But also for single property websites, we almost always use that same skin. And so it's there also. I don't think I have this open right now.
Would that be that little slot machine action, if you will, intrigued me.
Right.
As a great way of keeping Google very interested in what we're doing. Because
right.
the number of combinations are limited only by the amount of data that we can throw at it.
Right.
Okay.
It's essentially an infinite number of pages from Google's point of view. Okay, so I'm just looking at this now. I just opened this file.
Would that be a file you'd be willing to share?
Well, yeah, but you got to have 594 photos to begin with, 559. I mean, yeah, I mean, I have shared it before. I've given it to Cheryl Johnson, and I don't know what she did with it. I've shared
it
with Terry Luzer.
Would it be possible to run it with, say, you know, 60 photos?
Oh, sure, of course, of course.
So I'm just thinking that I liked what you were doing there because, you know, you keep the logo static. That's great. You want to have that image there for everybody. But then to rotate in just a little bit of a difference each time keeps the pages fresh, but it also makes Google happy, or, you know, makes me Google happy.
Right.
And instead of maybe trying to reinvent that set of, that wheel, if you would be willing to maybe share that code, then maybe we could play around with it and make it different. But make it the same, if that makes sense. Maybe, you know, play with it, using it as an example. Reverse engineer it, I guess.
Right, right. And, you know, just use it in your own context because, it's only going to work well in this theme. The PHP for doing that, is 50 lines, surprising to me that it's that much, but it's all real short and easy. It's just dull. I mean, it's, you know, hugely repetitive because of what it's doing. But yeah, it's 50 lines of PHP and then just 5 lines to plug the images in, each one of which is linking to a Republic column. So 3 photographs and 2 static images, and then each one of those is linking to a Republic column. So we're 3 to the 559th power, right, for the number of images, and then 2 to like 175th power for the other 2 images. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do the number of combinations. It's an enormous number of combinations just in the header. And then in the sidebar on those pages, there are all kinds of other things that are supplying essentially unique code. I mean, you know, constantly updated dynamic code to keep those pages looking enormously fresh from the point of view of search engines, that the content really, from a user's point of view, from an end user's point of view, is in the body section. And if they read the sidebar, they read it now and then, or maybe never, or read it once and never read it again, or whatever. The header they get used to, the footer they get used to, it's that body section that where they expect to find the varying content. And in fact, you know, on Bloodhound Blog, we don't do this on Bloodhound Blog, this is on bloodhoundrealty.com that we do this with all the photos, but on Bloodhound Blog, we're 6,300, 6,400 pages, something like that, and obviously, you know, 95, 98% of those pages, in the body section, nothing is changing, or every once in a while, somebody might show up and supply a new comment to an old post, but for the most part, they're not changing at all, and yet, because of the sidebar, everything is changing constantly from the point of view of a search engine spider, because it just looks like those pages are always in flux. And this is one of the reasons that the sidebar comes first in an Ngenu page, is because we expect the variability to continue to happen in the sidebar more than we expect it to happen in the body section, and so we just want to throw it higher in the file from the point of view of a spider. There was a time, it doesn't really happen anymore, there was a time when spiders would quit. They would read to a certain depth in a page and decide that they'd figured out what the relevance was and they would quit. But the way things are now, they have so much horsepower behind the servers that run the spiders, is that they read everything. And not only do they read everything within minutes of it's being posted. But we just stack it higher, because the higher things are in a file, the more likely they are to be regarded as being relevant. So.
Okay. No, I mean, it's starting to, you know, I'm starting to understand the big picture. And I think now I need to go and reverse engineer some things.
Right. I do want to stress this. Number one, content is king. There's nothing that you're going to do that's going to matter more than supplying good content, especially because, because, you know, your target market is human readers, not search engines. And, you know, the other factor that you have to keep in mind is that everything could change tomorrow. And I expect it to.
Oh, sure.
I expect Google to go to a more crowdsourced way of managing PageRank in general. The other factor, of course, is that the way things are now, PageRank matters hugely. And so, you know, garnering links from other sites, especially sites with high PageRank or high authority, is going to matter a hell of a lot, too. So, you know, varying this content, it was something that we just hit upon by accident. I was playing. And so I was fooling around, and I decided that I wanted the contributors list on Bloodhound Blog. I didn't like the idea of a hierarchy. We had always been in alphabetical order. And Chris Berg was writing with us in those days, and it really mattered to her that she was first. And then Lanny Anglin came on board, and I thought, okay, you know, I'm not going to have a civil war about who's first. We're just gonna randomize everything. And so I wrote just a little bit of PHP, and this is nothing. I mean, this is like 13 lines or something like that, that randomizes the contributors list. Every time you refresh the page, you get a different list. And so I don't know what we are right now. Let's say that we're 30 contributors. I don't even know. So it's 30 times 30 unique combinations. There are 900 unique combinations that you could get out of 30 contributors in random order. And then at the same time I did that, I took the contributors' websites, and I also randomized that list so that, you know, everybody gets to be on top sometimes. And I was just playing. I mean, I was just goofing around. And Galen Ward wrote to me and said, oh, Greg, you better watch out for this. This might cause you a problem, that Google might decide that your pages are so variable that they're unreliable in terms of relevance and that Google will wait for the pages to settle down before it decides what to do. Well, in fact, what we discovered was just the opposite, was that the more the pages changed, the more they were getting spidered. And we got to the point where we're getting spidered like 1,500 times a day, which, I mean, it was sexy as hell when it started to happen. It was really, really cool. And we literally get every page in the weblog, 6,300 pages, is being spidered all the time. I mean, within 11 days or so, the entire weblog will be spidered completely every 11 days or so. And this is all a result of dealing with this dynamic content. And so I had built another PHP tool for, what did we call that? I forget what I called it, but the Odysseus list or something like that. I forget where I was judging, you know, the best posts in the RENet, and I stopped doing that almost a year ago, last May. I just ran out of time. I wasn't able to do it anymore. But that was another set of variable content, and that was one of the things I was looking for when we went looking for the Senius idea, was another way to generate that kind of variable content. And my list of Republic columns is not hugely variable, but I add a new one every week, and so once a week it changes. The Trulia, the list of articles about Trulia's no-follow policy, is another one, and that one hasn't changed much in months, but it just adds a whole bunch of highly relevant content and can vary from time to time. And so we just ended up in a situation where every page on Bloodhound Blog was 100% unique. And so when I went to rebuild the theme for bloodhoundrealty.com, I said, let's just build it an insane amount of uniqueness. And I don't know that it's all that hugely valuable. If I devoted more attention to SEO, I'd probably get better results than I'm getting right now. And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to at Unchained is Eric Blackwell is going to be doing 3 hours at least and maybe 6 hours of SEO, and I'm dying to reap it because, you know, I know what I know, but I really know what I don't know. And what I don't know is a lot, and I want to improve my knowledge that way also, because as far as I'm concerned, everything counts, everything matters. I'm not fighting with Jeff Brown because I certainly understand his argument about, you know, hiring the guy and all that, but there's a limit to what you can get from the guy, and that limit really is when you don't know for sure yourself what you want. When you have to explore and figure out what you want, then you really need to know how to explore it and find out. And then you get to the point where you can automate it, where you can mechanize it, where you can document it, you can pass it off to somebody and say, okay, steps 1 through 7, repeat. That's right. When you can push it off on somebody else. But until that point, you've really got to figure it out yourself. And this is what I am, is I'm a real estate technology engineer. I just really like playing with this stuff. So
that's okay. I mean, you
make
I don't
it
know.
Make it pay better.
Well, you I'll let you work on that as well. But you know, you brought to light, you know, your Senius and Ngainu, both of those are fantastically intriguing and I think highly useful. And really, once you start getting your hands dirty, not hard to work with.
No. And I'm really excited to see the stuff that's happening with Senius now is that, you know, two or three people a day are out there building new Senius sites, and that's really cool. And it's not, you know, it's kind of a hairy process in the beginning to get in there, but again, it's the kind of thing where the first one is a little bit hard, the second one is, you know, okay, fine, and the third one is duck soup. And I'm just excited to see people doing this too, because I mean, there are benefits. I mean, it benefits everybody. It benefits the person who creates the scene, the people, the weblogs that they share it with, and the content providers who are being syndicated. Everybody wins, and I just like that kind of solution. So
absolutely.
That's a cool one.
So, I mean, I'm excited to mess around, well, not mess around, but to utilize both of these applications and remove myself from a real estate vendor who I was paying a good amount of money to on a monthly basis and not receiving value.
Right.
So I'm willing to trade some of my time and sweat equity to make sure I understand what it is I'm doing. And then, you're right, I can automate, if I can document it, I can source it out again.
Right.
But I will know what I'm sourcing out.
And exactly. And in the case of Ngainu, we talked about this in Seattle, but I just want to put it on here in case we put this up as a podcast, is that if you build an Ngainu site – that's going to have multiple pages. There is, you could be in cases where you're building 30 or 40 pages in one site. You and your assistant can be working on different pages at the same time. You could have, if you had 40 pages, you could have 10 people working, and each of those 10 people could be assigned 4 pages, and they could all be working separately from each other. And as long as you stay out of each other's pages, you're fine. And so everybody, you could be working on, you know, as many browsers as you have available, you have that many people who can be working. The other thing is, because we're server-based, that you're off in Boston visiting your grandmother and you realize you've got a typo on one of your pages, it's no problem at all. If she's got a web browser, you can get it and fix it from wherever you happen to be. I've fixed pages from my phone, iPhone.
That's the other thing. So Engainu is iPhone friendly.
It can be. I mean, the pages themselves, if you look at the page that you built tonight, or if you build another page with some text in it or like that, you'll see that it's iPhone friendly the way it is. I have code if you want it to identify an iPhone, and then you could build a separate theme, an entire separate CSS for an iPhone. This is the way it works on Bloodhound Blog, is we're working with a completely different theme if you come in from an iPhone.
That's how I come in a lot.
Right.
And Bloodhound Blog is very iPhone friendly.
And Senius.net is also. Senius.net is a completely different look, but it looks one way on a browser. Actually, it looks very similar on the iPhone, but it's just, you know, taking advantage of the screen size and all that on the iPhone. And so I have code that you could use that you could branch on the way in. If you discover that you're running on Safari for the iPhone, you could branch to a completely different CSS, and everything else would still work fine.
Okay. Now we'll get to that. I'll cross that bridge later, but
right. It's
good to know that it's a possibility, because more and more of us are using iPhones or, you know, smartphones.
Right. Right. And that's something I want to write about soon, because I don't know what to do about, for instance, BlackBerries. And, I mean, you know, I used to have a Trio 650, which was, very nicely web-enabled, except you couldn't really look at any page. And I'm talking to you now on a Palm Centro, which also has a really good web browser, and I don't know how to code for it. And so this is something that we're really going to have to figure out going forward, is how to code for multiple mobile phones, because in real estate we're depending on people. You know, on my signs, the website for the house is right there on the sign. And if somebody's sitting out there in their car, I want them to be able to go to that website and have a satisfying experience. Not just, oh, yeah, I could get the website on my phone. That's kind of gee whiz business, and that's really cool 3 times in a row. And after that, you start to say, wow, I can get this website, but I can't read a damn thing.
Right.
And instead of being satisfying, it's unsatisfying. And I'm going to write a book about satisfaction as a marketing tool anyway, but that's one of the keys for us going forward as Wired Realtors, is to figure out how to deliver a satisfying experience on whatever mobile phone the customer happens to have. And it's like real easy for me to write for the iPhone, because I have one. But again, this is the situation we were talking about earlier, having, you know, 7 different browsers to make sure your code is working. We could end up owning 7 different phones also.
Now you have become a real estate vendor. If you are out there, I need to
go to AT&T and get them going around spreading FUD at the brokerages. If you don't own all 7 phones, you don't know if your pages are working. How do you know if your pages are working?
There you go. Yep.
All right, listen to me. I want to go watch movies with my wife. It's Saturday night. Is that okay with you?
No, absolutely. You've been very, very helpful. I appreciate your time, and I'm going to go see what trouble I can get into.
Indeed. And, you know, if you get a working skin, show me. If you get a skin that's not working quite so well, show me. And copy Cheryl Johnson, too, because Cheryl is really good with CSS, and so she might be able to get you out of trouble.
Excellent. Great. I'm sure I'll be talking to you, and looking forward to seeing you guys again in April.
All right. Well, bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.